to Aussie Tech Heads, podcasting live from the Secret Hub Studios on the Gold Coast, Australia. Sit back, relax, and listen for a while. Who knows? You might learn something.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Aussie Tech Heads, episode 458, and it is the 8th of October, 2015. Yeah, so thanks for joining us. We are brought to you by athwebhosting.com.au. If you would like some great web hosting, you want to make a have your web page hosted in Australia, you want that the pinging happening really fast, just go to them, athwebhosting.com.au. Servers in Sydney, so it happens nice and fast. All right, and also on the hosting panel tonight, we have the two top podcasters in the world. It is Will. We'll go to Will first because we can. Hey, Will.
Nice, you're Willie.
How are you going?
Hey, mate. How we doing?
Good. How's your week?
It's been a week, yeah.
Yeah?
It's definitely been a week.
Cool. Good stuff. And down in the future is Jace. How you going, Jace?
Well, certainly in the future down here. It's wonderful. Would you like to know the lotto numbers or anything?
Yes, please.
I tell you what, I went to the dark side. Check it out.
Oh, the iPhone. Yeah. Oh, you won't look back. You will not look back.
My LG G3 went into continuous reboots. I factory reset it like 20 times. I tried all sorts of recovery tricks and stuff all over the web and uninstall this and do that. And it took me like 5 hours. And in the end, I was like, I need a phone that just works.
Yes, exactly.
And this one just works. And I went to the Apple store and I'm like, I would like a 6 Plus. And they said, you and everybody else, that's why we don't have any. And they had one 16 gig, why bother, rose gold.
Oh, I didn't do the rose.
6 Plus. And I'm like, no, I'm not buying a pink phone, dude, serious. So I went around to like JB and Meyer and stuff, and they all had just the 6S. So I went back and I was like, give me the damn 6S. I've got to have a phone right now, one that works and it's fast and stuff. And I had a look, I was like, it's actually not a bad size. It's not. I think the 6S Plus was going to be too big. You can see I've got a case there and a matte screen so that it's protected and stuff.
Nice.
Yeah, it goes. And I have no problem with it. I'm actually liking being back in the Apple world. I've got that. I've got the iPad mini.
Nice.
I've got the gold one of those. And I gave my girlfriend the MacBook Pro because her laptop was being crappy. So,
are you going to get the MaxiPad?
No, but I was tempted to get an Air, but I didn't get a job anymore, so I didn't get the
Right. Fair enough. Well, we all join in commiseration about your job, and yeah. I know you've got some other things lined up in the very near future after a little rest.
Yeah, interview coming up in a week, so
excellent work. Good stuff. All right, where are we going to start? There's a few stories that Microsoft held an event this week. Let's start there, I suppose. Yes, look, they've announced a few pieces of hardware earlier in the week. They announced a laptop, believe it or not. It's not the Surface Pro, it's a laptop. So it's its first laptop, apparently. So I might even, do I have a picture?
The ultimate laptop.
No, I thought I might have had
with a bendy hinge.
Yeah, I thought I might have had a picture, but I'll tell you what I could probably do. And I know those on the audio are probably just going, don't show us another picture.
The Surface Book.
Yeah, because they can't see. I'll mute that if I can. Hang on. How can we do this? How am I going to do this?
Computers are hard, Glenn.
They are. I don't think I can. I think it's not going to work. I had it set up to read that particular.
Do it in post. Shh.
Oh, no, I don't do stuff in post. Hang on. What about this? Will this work? Will this happen? Close that.
Yeah, this is so much more exciting than doing it in place.
It is, isn't it?
Lucky you're on the ball.
Look. Anyway, if you go to YouTube and type in the new Microsoft Surface Book, I was going to play a nice little video, but I couldn't get the video to come through on the screen. So we're going to have to just put up with me talking about it.
And you get a pen.
I'll try one more time. The new Microsoft Book. Look, it's there. It's ready to go. It's selected. But nothing. So anyway.
Willie's got it.
Such is life. Oh, okay. Cool.
Click on the allow button. There we go.
There we go. So there we go. That looks pretty good. It's a, yeah.
It's like a yoga kind of thing. It's got the hardcore computer and graphics in the keyboard, and then you detach it, goes to the discrete graphics chip, which is lower speed and quality. But if you're just using it in tablet form, you don't really care about that.
Said that the Surface Book, that's what they've called it, the Surface Book, will start at $2,299 and is twice as fast as the Apple MacBook Pro, apparently one
Microsoft. Yeah, it's got the latest chipset. That's why Apple's still got the last generation.
Yeah, it will be available from the 12th of November in Australia. So anyone that's got a nice heavy $2,299 in their back pocket, you can pre-order from the 7th of October. So how good is that? The laptop has a 13.5-inch display with 267 pickles per inch.
And you get them from McDonald's and pull them out of your burger and throw them against the window.
Yeah, you throw them at the cinema screen. That's right. Yeah. And features a trackpad made of glass. So, look, apart from anything else, just as a side note, 110 million devices are now running Windows 10. They also announced the Lumia phones. The 950 and 950 XL. Now, I do have a photo of those there. They're going to be, look, they're not cheap either. It's cheaper than iPhones, though. So the 950 and 950 XL, respectively, they are US 549 and 649. They go on sale in November. The Lumia 550 will cost will cost US $139 when it becomes available in December. The 950 includes a 5.2-inch display and a Qualcomm Snapdragon 808 processor with hexa-core CPUs. And there's a lot of other little stats there if you want to go and read them. And what else did they do? They also announced, look, I've got something. The Surface. We'll go the Surface 4 because that's...
Battle ropes,
the Surface 4,
bike, a helmet, snowboards, and soccer.
Apparently,
they've got everything. Microsoft.
I know, right?
They're branching out. No wonder they're the best technology company right now.
So, the Surface 4 Pro features a 12.3-inch with 267 pixels per inch. It runs 6th-generation Intel Core processor and has 16 gig of RAM and 1 terabyte of storage. Now, the Surface Pro 4 is 50% faster than Apple's MacBook Air, and this has been claimed by a guy at the Microsoft Computing event, and his name was Panos Panay. So there you go. What's this video he's showing us? Oh, where.
What I think, you know, I've got this lovely Fitbit watch, which is okay. Mm. But what I would think would be a better idea for Fitbit, forget their bands and watches and gadgets and stuff. Sell their technology, the software and connections and API to other companies so they can put it in the Apple Watch, they can put it in the Google Watch, they can put it in the Microsoft band, they can put it in your Jawbone or whatever they want, and everybody can just use the Fitbit API instead of everybody creating their own one. Because you know, I was at the Apple store and the guy's like, would you like a watch? And I'm like, yeah, well, it looks nice, but it doesn't do Fitbit. All my friends are on Fitbit, and that's we do challenges against each other and rankings and stuff like that. It's fantastic, but I don't want to have this. Then, you know, Bob has got the Microsoft one. Somebody else has got the Apple one.
That's right.
He's got Jawbone, and you can't. You just have to, hey, what's yours? 9,400 steps. And you have to tell each other when it's all built into the app. I think Fitbit would do a lot better, and they should just sell the technology to put Fitbit software and API into everybody's watches. They would just clean up.
Yeah, look, I've got the Fitbit Charge HR right there. And look, it's not really much to look at. But when it boils down to it, it probably is a little bit flimsy.
Yep.
Now, are these all related, Will, what you're showing?
That's the HoloLens.
Oh, then not yet. Not yet. We'll come to that.
He's a bit behind us, but he's getting there. It's good that he's actually on the ball of what.
So hold that video. We'll do that one.
Go longer than what you're talking. So I figure if I just play the videos while you're talking, people can get an idea.
Right. Well, we're talking about Fitbits, but anyway.
I've played that video. I've done that one.
Oh, did you? I wasn't watching. Sorry.
Our fault for not keeping up with the wheel.
You'll have to tell me because I'm too busy and I'm engrossed.
Back in the old days, we had to keep up with the Commodore because the Commodore was keeping up with us.
But that's right. But nowadays,
keep up with the wheelie.
Yeah. So the Fitbit. Look, it's not much to look at. And look, I really like the look of these things. This Microsoft band or whatever you want to call it. But as you said, it's not where everyone is. Like with their steps and all this sort of stuff. And look. to the point where I sat there, well, I looked at this Microsoft band today, and then I'm thinking, you know what? I would have really rather Apple come out with a band rather than a watch.
Yeah.
I think a watch is just, it's nothing. I would prefer to have a band.
I really, really loved my Pebble, but again, it doesn't have the Fitbit stuff in there. So I had the Pebble watch with the watch apps notifications. I had the Fitbit thing on my belt that would just clip on there instead of having an arm thing. I don't want to have a watch, Pebble watch on here and a Fitbit on there and something else around my neck or whatever. Mm. I just want to have the one thing, which is why I posted that picture today out with the old in with the new, and it's got the Pebble watch and the Fitbit one, which is clamped onto your belt, is the one thing in this watch now, but I would still prefer to have the Pebble watch because it's got a lot more apps and stuff. This one, you've got what's built in and that's it. You can't upgrade it. You can't add on extra apps.
Yeah.
You upgrade the firmware when they bring out more functionality for it, but you can't put on any extra apps or different clock faces or anything like that, which is really cool on the Pebble.
Microsoft has also introduced a Surface Pen, which has a year-long battery life. I don't know. No one here probably knows how long that the Apple one's supposed to have. But anyway, this
I got a pen right here that's been lasting for about 5 years. It's fantastic.
That's all right, isn't it?
Yeah,
a Netcom one.
Netcom do better.
Yes, it's got 1,024 pressure points and comes in 5 colors with interchangeable pen tips. Wow,
interchangeable.
Yeah, there you go. Now, just going back to the Microsoft Band 2, it allows it does monitor your fitness and exercise regime. Yes, as Warlock was saying, yes, another one. It will be priced at US $249 when it becomes available on October 30. So that's not going to be the cheapest thing in the world either, but cheaper than an Apple Watch.
Yep.
I would
Everything's
say.
Cheaper than an Apple Watch.
Now, what do you got there, Will?
Well, that's the Surface Book you're talking about with the tablet.
The bendy stuff.
Tablet. With the pen, then they're showing you what you can actually do. One thing I did like was the showing off the pencil. I like the fact you flip it over and it becomes an eraser.
It actually works as one.
Yeah.
That's all right. Cool. All right. What else has been going on? Will, you've got the floor. What have you got?
There's a few things happening. The new metadata laws are coming in on October 13th. They're the start of the new mandatory data retention regime for Australia that will involve details of telephone and internet messages being stored by service providers for 2 years. Capture communication material will cover who sent the message, who received it, what, when, how, but the contents of the message will not be retained. It will mean storage of telephone numbers of people making and receiving calls and how long they talk, but not the contents of their conversation, which doesn't really make any sense, to be honest, but anyway. Similarly, internet addresses and times will be kept, but not the messages themselves.
Mm.
Under defined circumstances, police and national security authorities will have access to the retained material. So, basically, the government is expected to provide about $128 million plus $3 million for administrative costs to help telephone and internet service providers set up retention and storage system. But the final bill is going to be higher. Any extra costs we've passed on to consumers.
But how much data, does it say how much data is this actually going to generate, like to store? Like if it's
petabytes.
It would be absolutely astronomical amounts of data.
Yeah.
Exabytes and exabytes.
Really that much, you reckon?
Oh, yeah. Every data transmission to and from every carrier and every person in Australia.
Can't they zip it up?
Compression. It's the new thing.
All right, so
I love the article goes on to say, you know, it basically says things, and then sort of in a sly-handed way, it says, it's not known how many people have set up VPN systems or how many more people will be setting up VPNs in the future, and then it gives you a link to go just how to set up a private VPN.
That's the thing about all these articles. It says something about torrents, you know, Game of Thrones, highest torrented show in the world, you know. Oh, if you want to know how to torrent, follow this link, and you can become part of the stat. Yeah.
But, so basically it's just another nail in the coffin for our internet speeds too, because don't forget, not only is it storing data, it's throughput for the servers. So it's more load on the servers, which means our internet speed's going to suffer from that as well. So,
Speaking of which, my internet speed was okay tonight.
What's up with that?
Well, I'll tell you what's up with it is because I wrote to Telstra through the week and said what my problem was. I got the, you know, the generic response, try unplug your router, you know, all this stuff. And I said, you obviously did not read the question. So anyway, today I started doing screenshots of my speed test so I could send it away to them again and go, look, through the day, okay, at night, slow. But then I tried to do a speed test tonight and it was fine.
Damn it.
I know. So I'm going to start doing screenshots every day just so I can maintain the rage.
You need to do what Will was doing and just run it on stream and just 24 hours, connect.
All right. Now, I don't know.
Freaking out with my blue shirt for you guys. It looks like it keeps on flashing light and dark all the time.
Yeah, it does a little bit. It's not doing great.
It's one of those, what are those old shirts called that used to change colour in the wet?
Hypercolour.
Hypercolour, that's the ones. Now, did you have one of those, Will?
I think I've still got one, actually. It still works, too.
Yeah, right.
He's got everything he's ever bought, ever.
an American company, started redoing them a couple of years ago.
Oh.
Actually, but
we talk on the old fart geeks about something. I'll go, and this thing here came out in the 1980s. Will's like, yeah, I got one of those just over here in the back corner. Okay, I'll just go get it. He runs off in the middle of the show. I'm like, yeah, so while Will's gone.
Well, I know a mate of mine has got an old Commodore 64 for sale. He's got the box, the machine.
Yeah, only $7,000.
He's got the 360K hard drive, would it be? 360K, floppy drive.
Like that,
and then I thought he said he had tapes as well. But anyway, he's going to chuck it on eBay. I asked you guys, I said how much you reckon he should get for it. I think he's going to put on for about 150. But guess what I got through the week? Oh, yeah, still in the box too. It's the new PayPal thingy bobber, whatever you call it. What do you want to call it?
Square.
Hey?
Square.
Here, PayPal here.
Yeah, the PayPal here. It's touch. It's
everywhere.
You can do your touch, your credit card onto it.
Yeah.
PayWave, that's what you call it. PayWave. Look, there it is, there, right there. And apparently you can write software for it as well. Like,
he's not going to open it, he just bought it.
Yeah.
Well, I can't open it now because it's pretty much sealed closed, but I'll open it later on.
You know, when you open it, it's not sealed anymore. This is what the process of opening something does.
I like stuff being untouched by human hands. Turns me on.
He's got like his original Chewbacca's from the 1970s still in the sealed container.
That's right. The little, the Dalek sandwiches and cookies. Yep. Yes. But yeah, you can write software for it. And also it is going to be able to do the Apple Pay as well. So it's pretty good. Like this software, when you say, what do you mean write software for it? Steve, I don't know if you remember Steve, he's been on
the developer
show a couple of times, yeah. He was telling me that he is writing a, a WordPress plugin for it. So, keep an eye out for that. So I suppose what's he going to use it for? For like unmanned vending machines. I don't know, something like that. So you can go up, blah, 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 and then tap your card on it. Away you go, back to your PayPal.
The Blockbuster video things that are popping up everywhere suddenly, the Blockbuster DVD hiring things.
Yeah, you could do that.
It's a DVD.
They're popping up everywhere. They've got Blu-ray and DVD.
I don't look.
Yeah, they had those from the UVI kiosks, and you go there, you take out, hire your DVD, put it in your thing, it goes. Oh, some guy who borrowed this yesterday, his kid drew on it with crayon and scratched a great big line across it.
Look,
you get to rent the same one and pay $10 for no video.
Look, I don't have a. I have one DVD player, but it's like old and decrepit, and I'd be lucky if it still worked.
Got one in my computer.
Yeah. Well, I think.
I don't. The only one that I've got now is in my Xbox. It's the only one in the whole house now.
Oh, yes. Well, I have one in the Xbox too and one in the computer, but that's it. Laptop, no. No,
I didn't have one in the computer until somebody handed me a disc the other day and wanted me to copy it for them. I'm like.
Really? I had it in my MacBook Pro, but it's down at my girlfriend's place now.
Walked around the house, looked at every old laptop, every computer, everything. I'm like. Fine, I'll go and spend $35.
Blame Steve Jobs. It's all his fault.
Yeah, you get the USB externals. That's all I've got. I've got one of those in my little bag of tricks.
I got the USB floppy.
Yeah, same here. I've still got one of those as well.
I don't want to know about your problems, Will.
I think I might have a... No, I don't know if it would... Would it be a USB zip drive?
Yep.
Yeah, I think I got...
They had parallel and the USB...
I had parallel.
The 250s, I think they were, weren't they?
And SCSIs.
SCSI.
Yeah. Yeah. That was
honest.
I had a SCSI zip drive when they were in fashion.
iOmega.
Yeah, they're the one. Are they still Mega kicking along?
And Jazz.
Yeah, yeah, Jazz. What was Jazz? About 100 meg.
It ended up being 250, I think, at the end.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But the zip drive could read a normal floppy disk as well.
Yeah. Whereas no.
Could, vice versa. The Jazz could read a normal floppy disk as one of them could.
No, yeah. They were different. You couldn't stick a floppy disk in a...
The
yeah.
big, thick ones.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to look it up now.
Yeah, no, you couldn't do that.
Our show that we did a few months back, Will. We discussed all about zips and jazz and stuff.
I know. That's why I know, because we talked about it.
Well, talking about other shows that are around, I'll tell you, go and look at that old Fart Geeks, and especially it's all on iTunes, with these two guys here, Will and Jace. And last episode, if you haven't caught it yet, they had a guy, the Microsoft... Who was he, Jace? The Microsoft...
Micro B.
Who?
Micro B.
Yeah, sorry, Micro B. Micro...
I kept saying that before as well.
Sorry.
Micro, the guy who's bought the trademark and licenses for the Micro B brand and is bringing out new devices that run the old software but also have another CPU in there to run... slightly better software and FPG gates and stuff like this.
Yeah, so yeah, catch that interview if you can. It's Old Fart Geeks on the iTunes and also the Aussie Mac Zone. They talk about all the love that you want to give your Apples and Macs and all that. Which, by the way, I updated my little Mac Mini over here to the right of me to the El Capitan today. Yep. I've done a few. It's going all right. I've done a few updates this week. I've updated my main machine, the one that I'm on right now, to Windows 10 from 8.1. Windows took about...
Creaming along and it's beautiful.
It was only 15, 20 minutes. It was great. It's got an SSD in it, so it flew along. Had no driver issues. It just booted back up. Everything was fine. So that was a real smooth transition for me, which I was really grateful for. And yeah, the
if you want, you can roll back, but you don't have to. There's also, if you're on the disk cleanup stuff, you can delete the old Windows completely off there if you need the space.
Yeah, I think that happens in about a month after you do it, I think.
Or you can run it now, but you can wait.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, I might do that. Yeah, I didn't ever thought about doing that. I might do that to get some space back. And also the new Aussie Tech Security, which episode 2 has just been out this week. And
hot off the presses.
Hot off the press, and that's all also on iTunes and YouTube at youtube.com/AussieTechEds. And this week, talking about a lot of stuff, passwords.
Things.
And also what stuff. Router you should be buying and why. Okay, so you listen to that. Now,
about a last week, you had to wait a week, didn't you?
This what?
I just bought a new router last week.
Oh, right. What brand?
Netgear.
Oh, no comment. Now,
I didn't say a good router.
Moving just, right along.
No. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong
Did
with
they
that.
Did they say anything about the billion? That's what I've got.
You have a listen. I had a
billion. My mother-in-law's got a billion router, and we got a billion router at work, and all three of them have been replaced, all three of them, because I got one here as well, have been replaced 3 times in 12 months.
Really? Mine hasn't. I've had it for a couple of years now.
And I know, that's why I bought them. I thought, obviously, this would be a great one. I don't have any problems with them.
7800N.
Now, Roger, who does the security podcast with me, he's the doyen of security in this country.
Roger.
And Roger Dodger.
Victor.
And he was saying that if you're going to buy a router for your house or your business, especially for a small business, you must spend around about at least $200 and get a good one. So I told him I had a TP-Link $45 one. He went, no.
And his mind exploded.
Oh, nearly did, yes. He's just thinking about all those security problems. But, yeah, have a listen to that. It's pretty interesting.
Eddie Max, you know it's quality.
What is it? What is it?
Eddie, did you get that from Aldi?
I have no idea where that went. Actually, I just noticed it sitting on the floor. I don't even know where it came from.
Oh, jeez.
I just turned around. It was on the floor behind me.
See, my stuff might all My stuff might all be in boxes, but Will's stuff is on the floor.
Randomly, all by itself.
That's an easy access, right?
Yeah, that's right. Now, Jase, what stories have you been reading this week?
Australia's posted its largest jump in data downloads on record in the month following the arrival of streaming service Netflix Down Under, new Bureau of Statistics data shows. In figures released this week as part of the regular internet activity statistics, the ABS reported that in the 3 months to June 30, Australian fixed line broadband users downloaded 1.3 million terabytes, or 1.35 exabytes of data. It represents an approximate 21% jump compared to the 3 months ended 31 December 2014 and a 40% rise in the same time last year. Netflix landed in Australia in late March. The spike in downloads in the months following Netflix launch is the biggest increase recorded by the ABS since it started measuring internet activity in 2010. The arrival of the streaming service brought in with it headaches for the country's telecommunication companies, some which faced capacity issues after failing to anticipate high demand for the service. iiNet was taken by surprise with the initial surge in Netflix use, and customer services suffered as a result of the provider not having enough backhaul to cope with the demand. iiNet Chief Technical Officer Mark Diogardi recently told us that Netflix accounted for 30% of the internet service provider's traffic. The ISP has now addressed most of its capacity issues, and the TIO in July said it was monitoring the overall situation after receiving complaints about generally slower speeds since the Netflix launch.
Well, maybe that's my problem. Maybe it's Netflix.
Yeah.
Maybe. Now,
everybody in your neighbourhood gets on to watch Netflix when they get home.
Mm.
Suddenly,
it all goes to poo.
You're on cable, right?
Yes, yes.
So that's shared line, so it will affect you, yeah.
Yes, but, you know, like through the day, as I was saying before, like normally through the day I'm 115 down and then come...
That's when everyone's at work.
Yeah, and then come like show time, it's...
kids at home, it was about parents two. At home.
Yeah, I know, yeah. That's not good enough. But look, we're going all right tonight. Maybe it's Eric. He's not here. Maybe it's him. Maybe he logs in and
jinx.
Screws us all. But anyway, yeah, well, hello, Eric. He's working late tonight. He's got a busy time on at the moment. So what? Oh, yeah, it's September 30.
I don't have a job. No. I was supposed to work this Saturday to do a giant SQL server move from our old servers to the new one.
Well, someone else will have to do that. Who cares? Are you still? What would you do if they rang you up and said, Jase, could you just come in for the day?
I'd laugh harder than the Joker does in Batman.
We stuffed the SQL thingy.
Whoops. Yes, that's $1,000 an hour to you.
Yeah, good work. That's what I'd be doing too. You might be able to go back to Uber.
So one of my friends was saying that. She said, what is that old job that you had that you're really good at that? And one of my bosses from Uber was on Facebook, and he's like, oh yeah, he was good at that job. And she's like, you know, that whoever your manager there, he should take you back. I mean, what's wrong with him anyway? And he's like, it's not my fault, he wanted to go. And she's like, you're his manager, you should give him back his job right now. She was right, going off at him. I thought it was hilarious, funniest thing I've seen.
It was a resignation, not a termination.
That's right, yeah.
What else have you got, Will? What's going on up there in downtown Ippy?
Speaking of internet issues, if you're a Telstra customer and you use Apple devices, chances are your last few days have been horrible. Mm. Telstra customers have taken social media to complain of dismally low speeds when connecting to Apple sites or using their devices to do something as simple as download an app.
Oh.
Some Apple users have tried turning off their home Wi-Fi and connected to the internet through their mobile phone, but has not avoided whatever the issue is that is slowing down communication between the Telstra service and Apple network. The timing for Telstra is not good, with many customers trying to set up the new iPhone 6S and trying to install the latest Mac OS. Telstra customers have taken to Twitter to complain of the problem, with some saying they've experienced a slow speed for days. Telstra has issued an updated statement. Arrangements have been made to reroute traffic away from the affected subsea cable, and as a result, the immediate issues impacting customers have been addressed. We'll continue to work to ensure the impact does not return. We thank our customers for their patience. We're experiencing issues with an undersea cable connecting Australia with Singapore. As a result, some customers are experiencing slow service.
Well, so the cable system covers 39,000 kilometres.
I don't have a problem. I've got a 6S.
Your Telstra?
And Telstra. I have no problem. I was just look, something you might be able to advise me on or put my mind at rest. I was going to look it up, but I couldn't be bothered. Now that you guys are here, the two best tech podcasters in the world, is, you know, when you I did a speed test on Wi-Fi on my old phone, on my 5, and you couldn't go past about 35 megabits down. That was about, must have been the limit of the Wi-Fi. Now, on the 6S, I could get up to like 80. I didn't know why.
Did the 5 have AC?
It wasn't really the limit of the Wi-Fi. It was the limit of the phone.
Yes.
With my Note 3, if I do a speed test on it, it'll go about 35 or 40. Mm. If I tether it with a USB cable and do it through my computer, through the same connection, I get 100. So the speed test limitation is actually just the physical speed at which the phone can process that.
Yes. So what were you saying, Jace? What specification is that working on, the AC?
Probably AC these days. You got AC modem?
Oh, so I got the duck's guts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't spend too much.
It's a bit smelly in there sometimes, but it works.
Yeah, so, oh, well, that's another, just reminds me, because I told Roger from the Aussie Tech Security, I said to him, look, I've just got the standard cable modem. I said, what do I do? It probably only costs about $2, you know, and he goes, oh, well, he tells us what to do if you got one of those.
Flush it.
Flush it? What did you say?
Flush it and get a good one.
You could flush it. Talking about flushing things, I'll tell you, Amazon. What Amazon?
Brilliant. It's kind of a segue, seriously.
I know, right? Isn't he brilliant? I couldn't have done it.
Oh, I'm aiming for the top. I'm aiming for the top.
But
Amazon, they've flushed away the Google Chromecast and the Apple TV. I don't know if you guys have heard about this little story.
No.
So what they're doing
they
is...
They both just brought out brand new ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Amazon is painting it as a decision to avoid customer confusion as both services don't support Amazon Instant Video services. So because...
There's the reason.
That's the reason. That's right. So Amazon believes that it's Google and Apple who are at fault, despite the fact that Chromecast actually will support the Amazon Instant Video services, but they just haven't built the Chromecasting technology into their software. So anyway, they've gone, stuff it, out of the box, you guys don't support us, so we're not going to sell yours. So other streaming services such as Roku Stick and the set-top box, Microsoft Xbox and Sony's PlayStation will all remain up for sale thanks to their compatibility, thank goodness.
Yeah, and they just announced Roku 4 that does 4K.
Nice. And Amazon has told third-party sellers that all Apple TV and Chromecast inventory has to be sold by the 29th of October. Otherwise, it will be removed from sale by Amazon.
Return the sender, address unknown.
That's pretty poor, though, isn't it? But
well, it's what they're all doing.
Oh, what? People aren't going to buy the Amazon Stick, or whatever they want to call it, just because Amazon's selling it. Don't people go, okay, well, I want an Apple TV. I'm going to go and buy an Apple TV.
Yeah, they'll go somewhere.
Hmm. They will go somewhere.
Radio Shack. Wait, that's gone. Best Buy, is that still around? Circuit City's not.
Yeah, that's still around. That's everywhere. All right. Okay, what else? You can have another turn, Jace.
Yeah, Skype said that it would offer users compensation for an outage last month that saw customers worldwide unable to use the internet voice, video and instant messaging service. The September 21 outage lasted around 6.5 hours, affecting customers in Australia and New Zealand, as well as others across the globe. Microsoft-owned communications provider has until now remained silent on the issue of compensation, but apologised and said it held itself highly accountable and would redress users for the loss of service. We're sorry for the technical issue we suffered that day, Skype said in an email to customers. We know how important our service is to you and how frustrating outages like this can be. We also know that sometimes saying sorry just isn't enough. Customers will get 20 minutes of free calls to over 60 landline and 8 mobile destinations around the world in a few days' time. Users will need to check their accounts to see which destinations are covered, and the credit will only be available to use for the next 7 days.
Yeah, so hurry up and get into it. I don't use Skype that much to dial out like other numbers, do you guys?
No, yeah. And you're going a bit blurry there.
It's only our camera.
No, might be that what's in that glass. Yeah, sorry, Will, go.
It started talking about Skype and then his camera went crap.
I don't have the dial in, dial out. I don't pay for that. So
yeah, right. Look, I got a good news one just before we go to Will for another story from Will. But I've got one here. Jared Hayne, you know, he's got my interest going. Hey,
number 38.
38. Yeah, I think he's got most of our interests, you know, peaked at the moment. I haven't seen too many of his games lately. They've been on at like 6 in the morning or something. I'm way too fast asleep at that time of morning. Anyway, so Jared Hayne, he's signed up with Symantec to be the Symantec's ambassador, the Norton's, if you don't know who Symantec is. And he has presented a check from Norton of $123,000 to mental health organisation Beyond Blue. So good on Norton and, well, not so much Jared Hayne, wasn't his money, but good on him for taking a photo anyway. There he is. So Jared Hayne said, being so far away from home, the internet and social media is a great way for me to keep in contact with my family, friends and supporters and stay informed about what's happening in Australia. I want the internet to be a safe place for everyone and I'm so pleased to be partnering with Norton to raise awareness about online security and cyberbullying issues. Bullying issues. Blah, 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 blah. All right. So that's a good one. So he's been going pretty good, but I think that those 49ers are a bit hopeless, aren't they?
Yeah, as a whole? What they need to do is they need to give him the ball and go, here, just pretend you're playing footy and just run through them. Oh, kind of like that.
Yeah.
That's leading down.
You can't run upright. You'll get tackled. Oh, wait. Hang on.
Show me where. Yeah, that's a good run. Was that last week?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that's another good run.
He only touched the ball like 3 times and he made 3 really good attempts at it. But yeah, it's quite funny. Like, especially I was watching one article and they were saying about watching one story and they had the news reporters and they're like, so if you guys who don't know, he plays football in Australia he plays rugby in Australia and he's their MVP.
Yeah.
It's like, okay. Didn't know he had MVPs, but all right.
But good on him.
Look, the funniest commentary I found was when in his first match, when he took that really big tackle on the sideline, he tackled the defense.
Yes, shoulder charge.
And yeah, and on the sideline, the got the one of the other guys mic'd up, and he's like, oh, I wonder if he drinks Foster's.
I bet you he does. And I bet you he will be drinking as much as he can. That'd be good. Yeah, so that's all. Good on him. Good on you, Jared. I know you listen, so yeah. Good on you. Keep going. Keep running. Okay, Will.
It's to that thing you do. Run, Jared, run. Oh, dear. Where are we? Yeah, sorry. YouTube's just taken over.
That's all right. Well, I can go on with another one while you...
So we're talking about more legislations that are being passed again. The draft legislation for the GST on digital purchases has been unveiled. The Australian government's taken the wraps off its draft. What? That's not even English.
Taking the wraps off its draft?
It's not written properly.
Is anyway, that not from the Australian?
No.
They are hopeless.
the tax laws was created in 2000, obviously, before the whole internet was a thing. Well, in Australia, anyway. So the growing importance of these types of transactions has highlighted the fact that the GST system was designed with a focus on Australian-based rather than cross-border suppliers. This harms the integrity, apparently, of the GST. The Australian government announces plans to introduce the so-called Netflix tax with former Treasurer Joe Hockey, and here's the important part, claiming that such an amendment would raise $350 million within 4 years.
Hmm.
So an exposure draft of the legislation for implementing the policy to digital products, and of course, government policy on decision on the low threshold. In order to achieve this, the Australian Taxation Office will request companies that sell over $75,000 worth of goods and services to Australian customers to register their products for GST.
Look, I don't know what happens here, but...
they're basically saying, look, we can't actually enforce this, but if you'd like to do us a favour, could you fill out a buttload of paperwork so that you can pay us more money? That'd be really good.
But they seem to be like eBay and all that. They'll comply with the VAT tax. I know they've got little VAT boxes on all their checkouts, so I can't see why it'd be too hard to comply.
eBay is different. eBay is set up for that. But like if you...
Oh, just a normal sort of joint.
Well, if you buy from, like, America or something, within America, they're set up for the different taxes. If you buy in Britain from Britain, they're set up with the different taxes. If you buy from Australia within Australia, it's set up for GST. If you buy from Australia from overseas, it's not. It doesn't worry about that. It's a thing. Like, it's not going to be up to it's not going to be up to eBay to enforce that. It's going to be up to each individual company to decide whether or not they want to bother to fill out the paperwork.
Well, it's going to be interesting how that's going to work out. It's not effectively
because basically everyone's now going to buy the stuff from people who don't follow that procedure.
Well, yeah, that's right. Well, you're talking
the people who do follow the procedure and they watch their sales tank and they go, I wonder if we can undo what we just did.
Well, you're talking, 10% discount if you didn't have to pay it. So,
Then it goes on to say Australian streaming companies Quickflix, Stan, and Presto, and subscription pay TV service Foxtel have been supporters of the introduction of the Netflix tax as they claim it will level the playing field in regards to a competitor, Netflix. No, because if you want cheaper Netflix, you use a VPN, you pay amount in an overseas currency, which makes it cheaper anyway, you idiots.
Well, I do agree that Netflix should, if they're offering it in Australia, they should pay the GST. No, it's a service. It's a service provided to us.
It's not a service from Australia. It's a service from somewhere else. It just happens to support us here. They just haven't geo-blocked it. It's like the BBC suddenly charging GST to watch one of their TV channels on BBC Online because we've got GST.
Right. I'm just going to do something on the internet here and just have a look.
Sure, they've got local hosts somewhere, but I think the parent company is not an Australian company. It's the same as Amazon, the same as Google, the same as all that.
Okay, so, well, I've just done an ABN lookup. Well, I'm sure this would be reflected in the company's ASIC. And Netflix Australia, it's an entity.
Yeah.
That's obviously where the money is going through. So it's if it's registered in Australia, it should charge tax.
If they're providing the streaming service, if they're just a call center that has nothing to do with the streaming, then no.
I don't know. I don't necessarily agree with that, but anyway.
Like the thing is, like as a small company, we import a lot of stuff from China. We bring in LED lighting. We bring in, we bring in stuff like that.
Yes.
Torches and certain things from China, and we deliberately keep the shipments under $1,000 so that we don't have to pay GST. If we now have to pay that extra 10% on everything we bring in, there's no point us bringing it in because we're now no longer cheaper than anybody else and we're no longer offering that one thing that we can offer, which is slightly cheaper prices.
But as a whole, that's the whole market force thing. So you're on that means that you're on an unlevel playing field at the moment with your competitor. So your competitor would be saying, well, come on, get this guy on the level playing field.
And I'd be going, no, you get your act together and you do what we're doing.
Well, you could do that.
my argument is, why penalise the person who's figured out a way to do it successfully? And the only people, you'll notice the only people who really are behind this are Stan, Presto, Quickflix, Myers, Woolworths, Coles.
Yeah, you know, Jerry. Jerry started it.
The ones who already have the prices hiked up high and don't want to lose their mega profit.
They're the only ones who want this introduced. The small mum and dad businesses, I can guarantee you, don't. The average consumer doesn't want this.
But
the only reason it's happening is because Jerry Harvey,
Jerry.
Couldn't keep his mouth shut and alerted it to the public that it was possible to do it that way. And then the government's got in on it and they want their $350 million cut. That's the only reason this has been implemented.
But you're talking about money to the government, which is
enough bloody money that they don't earn. They shouldn't get any more.
Intangibles, I don't really have a problem with. But anyway, we don't want to get bogged down into that. So what else have I got here? How's this one? Now, I got an email from Matt. Hey, Matt. He sent me two stories to read out tonight, this week. So have a look at this one.
Have you read them or is this just off the cuff?
I've read them.
Okay, that's all right then.
I've read
them. Something ends badly if you haven't read them first.
No, I've read them, and because I've even got photos to show for those on the video. Now, the Lexus there's a car. The Lexus has made a car out of cardboard. The Lexus UK unveiled a cardboard origami-inspired replica of its IS sedan made from 1,700 fully recyclable laser-cut cardboard sheets. And this thing has got an electric motor in it. It took 3 months for a team of designers from the UK laser-cutting service Laser Cut Works, 3D model maker, scales and models, and packaging company DS Smith to handcraft this full-sized model. And apparently the glue that they used took 10 minutes to dry. And according to a news release, accuracy was vital as changes couldn't be made once the glue had dried. So there you go. I wouldn't drive it. What happens if you had a crash? You just crumple.
It's got a lot of crumple zones. Yes.
But it looks pretty good, though. It looks pretty mean. But
have you seen the rest of the pictures to that, where they show you the rest of the car, like the seats been made out of cardboard and
right,
and the brake rotors. Just saying, that's probably not one of those components you want to be made out of cardboard.
Well, how would the car stop if it's cardboard on cardboard?
It probably does like
action
for an hour, and it's an electric motor, so it probably just only does like 1K, and just you just decelerate to stop. But it's honestly
just because you can.
Yeah, that's literally all it is. It's just pure gimmick. There's nothing.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing constructive to get out of this at all. Like, it doesn't achieve anything. Just the fact that they obviously had too much time and or something.
Now, the other story, Will, he thought you might have been more interested in was Rock Band 4, because you're into games. I'm not sure if you're into Rock Band, but anyway. I could just see you in there.
I'm so unco, it's not even funny.
Playing your guitar. So Rock Band 4 and how expensive it is in Australia, or will be when it gets here. Now, we've got here some, just as a comparison.
What? $500.
Yeah, exactly. As a comparison, we'll just go with the full box and dice. You know, the whole bit here. Because apparently, you can buy the game only, the Rock Band 4 guitar bundle, or the Rock Band 4 band a box bundle.
So, band in a box.
So guitar, drums, and a microphone. There we go. So yeah, $400. Well, that's cheap, Will. Where's that at?
It's on sale.
They play it on the Big Bang Theory all the time.
Yeah, the older version. This is from gamesmen.com.au. Gamesmen. It's on sale for $468. Save $31. Pre-order.
Yeah, right. Good luck with that. Now, $499 is the price that is, as say, it's retailing for. $499. That's $500. And
a bit of plastic.
Yeah, and it's what is it? It's a game. What's it for? Xbox or something?
Yep.
Xbox One.
So if you want to play Band in a Box, you need an Xbox, which must cost at least $400, plus this $500. So anyway, as a comparison, in US dollars, it would be selling over in the US for $249. So $250. That's like half price. Half of what they're going to charge Eddie. So I thought, okay, the exchange rate, all that sort of stuff. So I did the $249 US into Aussie dollars, comes out $367. So it's still $130.
So they're charging $100 freight and $30 markup.
But how can they charge freight? They could charge a little bit of freight, yeah, understandably, because, they must sell. They must send out 100 of them at least. Well, so they send out 10,000 of these to Australia. So that, divide the freight into that.
They're paying for a container regardless of what's in it.
So home, they wouldn't just have empty space. They'd fill it up. They'd probably
send a container from China to Australia is $1,100 from dock to dock. I know this.
How much?
But $1,100 to send a 40-foot container.
That's not much.
Australia from peer to peer.
That's pretty good.
We just did it because we just imported a container of batteries.
Did you pay GST?
I did. Boss probably did. But yeah, so it's $1,100 for the shipping from Dr. Doc, and then it was another $350 from Port of Brisbane to our place to get it dropped off,
right?
Picked up the next day. So $1,500. So if you've got, thousand of these in there, that's $1.50 per unit.
Yeah. So anyway, so this story went on and said that Home Entertainment Services, who make this band in a box or are distributing it, they were asked about the local pricing, and they informed that the US prices, and what's this say? They informed that the prices were high because the purchase stock was directly from Europe as opposed to the US. But so what? So I did another little calculation. Well, so the pack in the US was $249, so say $250. So $250 US equals €221, which is $348 Australian. So it's the same, if not $20 cheaper. So that whole international European thing is just bull.
Yep.
And the other half's all, you know what.
Actually, you're missing conversion, though, because it'd be going from euros to US dollars to Australian.
Well, so maybe.
Step out of there, which will probably make it cheaper.
Maybe. Depends who you go through, I think. But anyway, but it doesn't matter. But the thing, yeah, but I don't understand. Like, we don't have a big population here. Why would they care? Why would they want to just, why do they want to gouge us? They wouldn't care.
Yeah, $249 from Amazon.
Yeah.
Band in a box.
Yeah, do they region restrict games like they do DVDs and stuff?
Well, you can always get shipping services in the US to buy it for you and then send it over here.
Yeah, but you need to have a US Xbox.
Oh, it's only compatible with that.
Most of them are region locked, yeah. Well, they used to be. I don't know if they still are. They used to region lock it all.
Yeah, all right. I updated my Wii, just as a matter of interest.
I went to the doctor and he did it for me.
I hear you have to do that once you get to 40.
You might have to. No, I updated it, and I like the little message that comes up on it, and it says, you know, if you've modified this machine in any way, we will brick it, or something similar. Jace, what else have you got this week for us?
Sydney will become the first city in Australia and one of only a small group internationally to get public transport directions for maps on Apple's iOS 9 mobile operating system this month. The addition of Sydney was footnoted with coming in October 2015 on Apple's iOS 9 features availability site, which provided no further detail on how much of the city's public transport system will be covered by Maps directions. The move will provide new competition for the local public transport applications. However, NextThere and TripTastic developer Rupert Henson said adding transit data to Maps would put pressure on Google Maps more than his own products. Real-time apps like NextThere are focused on a commuter use case, and I think complementary to Apple's transit offering. You could alternatively think of it as customers who don't know how to transport the transit system and use Apple Maps versus commuters who do. Henson's apps use publicly available timetable and spatial data published for transport for New South Wales through its Data Transport Exchange program. He also has access to real-time data that TF at New South Wales makes available to trusted developers on a select basis. This access means developers can guide users around perennial Sydney public transport issues such as weekend track work and accompanying bus replacements, as well as other changes that occur on a weekly basis.
There's so much data around. Everyone's got data, haven't they? Like, just data on this and data on that.
I like that. One of my friends is a developer. He makes one called TripView, and if you're in Sydney, you can sit there and you can see where the train is on the line as it comes into your station, a little dot on the map. And then it'll notify you if it's 2 minutes late or 1 minute late or 20 minutes late, so you can keep up to date in real time and not have to worry about the announcers who never tell you while everyone's standing around there going, geez, I wish somebody would bloody tell me when the train is actually going to arrive. Do I need to go get a bus, or is it actually going to come at some time in the next 20 minutes?
So has he got that authorised by the transport?
Yep.
That's good, isn't it? So it'd be pretty popular app, I'd imagine.
Oh, yeah, yep. It's on Windows, Mac, Windows, iOS, and Android.
Oh, it's not in the Windows App Store, is it?
Everything, yep.
Does it work in the App Store?
Yeah.
It must be the only app that is of significantly good.
Useful.
In the Windows app. Every time I went the other day to look for something. I thought, look, this would be good to have on the Windows, on my little Windows tablet. So I went in there and you just read the reviews. Oh, this is pus. This doesn't work. Load it up. Wouldn't connect, you know. And it's just rubbish. Oh, I don't know.
Both apps said that, did they?
Yeah. They got enough apps. There's just nothing works. It's just all rubbish. I don't know why they making all this song and dance about Windows 10 and these band the band they've brought out, the Surface Pro, the Windows laptop. There's no apps.
Nobody wants a Lumia though.
Well, I wouldn't mind having a go at one of those, but again, there's no apps.
I had one for my last job as my work phone, and the only thing that I put on there was Exchange just so I could connect to work email and keep up to date with it all the time, and it wasn't worthwhile looking for anything else.
Maybe you could just try and just put TeamViewer on it and just view another computer on it all the time.
In which case, get an iOS or Android.
That's right. All right, have you got any more, Will?
Yeah, there's one that actually a mate of mine tagged me in earlier today. Robert Scoble, you know, that guy who seems to be everywhere.
Everywhere, yeah.
He was at the, I can't remember what it was called, they were at a seminar that they've got happening in the States at the moment. And he caught up with this guy from Light.co. They've basically developed a new style of camera that uses, has from a 50 to 150 zoom in it. But it's made up of different lenses, and each lens has a different thing that it does. So basically what it does is it's got three prime lenses built in, and then it's got the rest different focal points between 50 and 150 mil, and there's actually little optical mirrors that actually slide and adjust your optic zoom. So it's a true optic zoom camera. It has a 52 megapixel resolution, and it uses it's got 16 individual cameras, and any 10 of them fire at the same time to give you that sort of range.
Wow.
It also does 4K video, 35 to 150 mil true optical. It looks really good. It's starting at $1,300 basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And my only concern that I can see is, okay, it's got a huge megapixel rating, but there's a part in the video. I'll see if I can quickly quickly switch to it. Actually, there's a couple problems. One is it's huge. I mean, it's supposed to be a DSLR replacement because people were complaining that DSLRs are too big and too bulky.
Mm.
I mean, it's not exactly tiny, this thing. It's pretty large. It runs on Android. But the biggest, I'll see if I can find this part in the video where they show you the teardown inside where you can see the actual.
So you still put it up to your eye to take a photo?
It's got a screen on the back. Like, it's a proper Android device. Runs all the Android apps, runs Facebook, runs everything you'd want it to run.
So the way he's holding it, I was going to say, it looks like, remember the first, those box cameras? He's holding it like a box camera, box brand.
It's a normal. Sorry, I'm just skipping through the video a bit here just to try and find the bit where they show you the inside, what it looks like.
Geez, all eyes on this guy. Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, you can see Scoble's ugly mug.
Scoble's come a long way since he was just an IRC mod on Leo's website.
There's a part, and you'll see it's made up of a heap of different cameras, but they're tiny sensors. And I'm thinking maybe quarter inch at best sensors. So it's going to be a huge megapixel, but I just don't know how it's going to perform in low light situations. There we go. Let's go back a bit. Where is it?
So I wonder if they say, here, Robert, go have a look at our camera, review it, blah, blah, blah. Just don't take it apart.
No, so this is it here. You can see this is a mock-up of what the inside looks like. And if you look at that, you can see how you've got each one of these is a separate lens.
Wow.
And they've all got different optic, the optical part of that slides to give you the different zoom. Yeah. And you can see the three prime, the square ones there, the three prime lenses.
Yeah, right.
But see how small the sensors are? So that's my only concern is how it's going to perform in real world, you know, high speed, racetracks or something, or dark situations.
Yes.
You just don't have the physical, you know, volume of a proper CMOS, one-inch CMOS sensor that you have in a DSLR. So, I mean, don't get me wrong, it takes some stunning photos. You can go to their website, you can have a look at their gallery. How much they've been photoshopped is unknown, but it seems to do okay. Seems to does some pretty trick stuff, like you can see this one here, how it's in focus right through from the distance right up to close up.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. Or you can change that and you can have a focal point like a normal camera. So it seems to do a few things like that. But, yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Something to keep an eye on anyway. So if you are thinking about buying a DSLR camera, I'd probably hang off for a couple of months and wait till this thing gets actually produced, and might be worth having a look at, because they built it specifically for if you want to travel and things like that and you want a small, compact, lightweight.
Mm.
You know,
well, I think that's the go these days, isn't it? Because like, I've got an SLR camera, but it's just easy to take your phone. Like, I think my iPhone now is probably more megapixels than that camera.
It is, but the problem is you don't have a zoom. That's the biggest thing, no optical zoom. So this kind of gunner, so, and really, it because it's Android-based as well, the only thing it doesn't have in its 3G slot, but it has Wi-Fi and has all that, and you can tether to your phone. So realistically, you could leave your phone in your backpack with the tethering turned on, and you could just carry that. So if you only want to carry one device, you can just carry that. It came about, the same guy who developed this, you have to read the story that Scoble, listen to the story that Scoble put up, but the Indian developer who developed this also developed LTE.
Okay.
So, but he knows what he's doing. It came about with him because he was on a hiking trip in the, I don't know, middle of the desert somewhere, and they said, carry as much water as you can. Yeah. And he basically came down to having two hands left after his backpack was full. Okay, I got a bottle of water in here, and I can either carry another bottle of water or I can carry my DSLR. So he opted for another bottle of water.
Mm.
You know, the theory is with something like this, being so small, you put it in your top pocket, you're right.
Well, you put another bottle of water in your top pocket.
Yeah, well.
flask. Yeah,
I just thought that was pretty neat. Be curious. As I said, it'd be a bit of curiosity to see.
Yeah. You know. So what is it, $1,300 US?
Well, you think about it, if you have, say, three different telephoto lenses to get you all the way from 35 to 150, and then you've got, say, three prime lenses, say a 35, a 75, and a 150 prime, you're talking like over $5,000 just in lenses.
Mm. So, did you say, is that a prototype or that's actually out?
Actually out. They're starting development.
Mm.
They're taking pre-orders, but they've got them out in the wild.
Well, let's hope Amazon doesn't sell cameras. Because otherwise they won't be selling that one. All right. That's ridiculous, isn't it, that story about Amazon? It is ridiculous. That
sounds about right.
I don't think I've ever bought anything off them anyway. Not that they're really prevalent out here.
Well, that's the thing in Australia. I've
bought a few things.
Yeah? Yeah.
Books.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Audible.
Audible. Yeah. Did you have any more for us this week, Jase?
That's it for me.
That's it? William?
Was it? That's it for me, and that's it for me.
I was thinking the same thing.
Have you got any more, Will?
It's good night for me, and it's good night from him.
That's it. Nothing super important that took my. There's a lot of weird ass stories this week, but there's nothing overly exciting.
No, I found that I didn't have too many at all. It was just pretty boring. And thanks to Matt, he come through with a couple of stories that made my lineup look pretty good. Good on you, Matt. All right. Well, that's about it. Don't forget you can get the show notes at aussietechheads.com.au/podcast. And you can do the radio, the Shoutcast radio at somewhere, aussietechradio.com. It's got all the Australia, New Zealand, the best podcasts from Australia, New Zealand on there. So jump up, tech podcast. So jump on that, aussietechradio.com. Look, it's hard to find an app on your iOS to play a Shoutcast stream. I don't know why it's so hard. But what happened to Winamp? Is that still going around?
Whipped the llama's ass.
Yeah, because that's not – you can't download that for iOS anymore. I don't know what's going on. But anyway, we've got iTunes, so that's good.
That's all you need.
That's all you need. But, it's not as easy as
– I've said I don't use iTunes, won't use it, can't bother installing it, don't like it. There's actually one thing that's just come out that would almost make me install iTunes and set up an account.
What?
Just a new album has come out by somebody who I follow. I'm a Patreon. I follow their Patreon. I follow their YouTube.
Mm.
And they've just released an album, and it's only on iTunes at the moment. The physical album hasn't been released yet. They are releasing it, but the iTunes come out first.
Right.
And that's one thing. I'm like, just... so close just to installing iTunes just to get this one album.
Yeah, but are they still DRM'd iTunes stuff?
That's not exactly hard to
get. They haven't been for ages.
Yeah, I thought they might have switched that off. But yeah, still.
They broke all their
service. Even last year when I was at my father's and he wanted some music for his Android phone, I just downloaded in. I paid for it through iTunes, downloaded it, and then install the Winamp desktop app, and then you plug your Android phone into it, and you can transfer it straight across to there.
Mm. Well, I'll have a whinge about Apple Music. It's not going to last if they can't sort that out. I don't know. I don't think I'm a stupid person, but I can't work out what to do in it. Like, I honestly can't work out what to do. Like, I don't know. Like, it opens up, and you go, well, what do I do? You can't search for nothing. Like, it's hard. You know, that's not like, and I just go, oh, just go back to Spotify. You can search for stuff.
Yeah, Spotify is great.
Yeah. So, did you get your iPhone through Telstra, Jace, or through someone else?
I've got a SIM only plan with Optus, so I just got a prepaid, fully paid iPhone 6S.
Yeah, because I was going to say when I got mine through Telstra, they gave me 2 years of Apple Music. But
you don't know what to do with it.
I don't know what to do with it. It's yuck. I hate it. It's yuck. It's just awful. I don't like it.
It reminds me of what the Google Music was 4 or 5 years ago when it first came out. It's very, very similar in the feel.
The music radio app.
Yeah.
It's just like playlists, and half the playlists are made by Apple, and it's just hard.
If you've used iHeartRadio, it reminds me a lot of that.
Mm. I haven't used that, but although I just thought I'd have a little whinge. And I got it for free for 2 years, and I don't like it. I'm going back to free Spotify.
I did a search for Metallica and got a bunch of results.
Yeah, I don't get that. Is that in the Apple Music?
Yeah.
I don't know.
So the music app, you go to My Music, it's got all the stuff that you bought through iTunes, and then you've got radio, which is where you do your streaming through, and you just pick, it says Apple Music or My Music's got tabs there, and you can just do a search on Apple Music for what you want to stream.
So I'm in, so I've loaded up radio.
Yep.
And then what do I do? Search.
There's a search up the top. You can pick what you want, or you can just have a look at what's there. They've got charting now, sound system, mixtape on the floor, pop hits, and then all the different genres all the way down the page, so you can pick what kind of genre you want.
Okay, so then I can go into songs.
Yep.
But I can't.
I just picked metal and it started streaming Slayer.
All right. But I don't. I typed in Blondie. So I got her. But what happens if I want like one of her songs? There's only 3 songs there I can choose from. There's albums and playlists and stations.
Blondie Greatest Hits, Blondie Single. Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's not picking a song. It's picking a playlist of songs.
Well, see, I just can't handle it. I can't handle it. Now I can't even stop it. Hang on. There we go. All right. Let's get out of here. All right. Good stuff. Okay. Thanks, Jace, for coming in. I'm an hour later down there in good old Melbourne town.
Yeah, quarter past 10 now.
Getting cold down there overnight, wouldn't it? This late?
It's hard to say. 2 nights ago I had the air conditioning on, and some last couple of nights I've had the blankets on, all of them again. So,
ooh, nasty.
It's up and down as Melbourne tends to be.
All right, good stuff. We shall see you next week. Hopefully employed next week. That'll be good.
Hopefully.
Mm. All right, thanks, Will. We'll see you next week also.
No worries, mate. Yes, hopefully. We'll see how we go.
Good stuff. Any Obsidian Loft or Old Farts coming out?
Not at the moment. We had that last Old Farts as we were talking about before, and I just have to see if I get a job so I can afford to pay for a server or not to store the data. Or Will was thinking of moving it to the Internet Archive anyway, so people would be able to download from there. We'd have to do a lot of redirection URLs and stuff first. To store all of the shows.
Oh, just upload. Will's got NBN. Upload them all.
Yeah, so I was going to say I'd re-upload them a bit quicker.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, archive.org. That's probably the best thing to do, I reckon. And then you don't need a server. You only need a server if you want it to play around with.
Well, it's good to have the server because then you know how many downloads does Archive tell you?
No, well, I run it through Feedburner.
Oh, okay, so that tells you everything.
Yeah, so you do it all. So the only feed that you're given out is the Feedburner URL, and then it just happens to pull it from Archive. That's all.
Cool.
Yeah, that's all right. If you want any help, let me know.
Sounds good.
I've been doing it for 6 minutes or so. Okay.
You're
all
an expert
right.
now.
That's right. All right, so, yeah, AussieTechRadio.com, the AussieTechEds.com.au/paper, great little thing. Read it on your iPad, on your phone, whatever, on your new 6S. Yeah, it's a bit bigger. It's easier on your eyes. It's good.
I'm afraid I won't be doing any free Android apps anymore because I don't have Android anything.
Yeah, that's all right. Now, look, the apps, they're sort of waned a bit because we were doing apps on Facebook, the apps of the day, the free ones for iOS and Android, but they sort of started repeating and they're just all sort of the same. So unless I see something that's out of this world, we'll put it up then. All right, thanks, everyone. Hopefully we'll have Eric back next week when he's outside of his end of company financial year. Might give him some more time. So until next week, thanks everyone in the blab. Thanks everyone for watching us live. And thanks everyone downloading and YouTubing. So until next week, bye for now. Ta-da.
See ya.
Aussie Tech Ed is produced by The Secret Hub and recorded. Please visit our website and take part in our discussions forums at www.aussietechhead.com. Views expressed in the preceding audio do not necessarily represent those of Aussie Tech Ed or The Secret Hub. Thank you for downloading, and we'll see you next episode. Bye for now.